Good evening and welcome to worship. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we ask now that you might quiet our hearts.
All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Good evening. If I asked you to picture a sapphire or a ruby, would you picture a beautiful sparkling gem or something more dirty and rough in its original state? What if I asked you to picture a golden statue or a silver plate? Did you picture something clean and ready to be admired, or something that needs some silver polish and a cloth to make it its best? I'm sure when asked, most, if not all of us, would picture those items all polished and shining bright. But would you ever stop to think how they got to be that way? When gemstones are mined, they are rough with jagged edges lacking sparkle. At that moment, they may have tremendous value, but one does not see its true beauty or the sparkle that is trapped inside. Over time, and with the proper tools and care, a team of people will help make the gemstone what it is meant to be, a beautiful sight to behold and something a very special person will admire, show around, and hold dear. The same goes for a statue or precious silver. Both could be given as gifts and treasured by the recipient, but these metals didn't start that way. They had to be melted, formed, then polished to become a valued work of art. A few years ago, God put things in a place for me to begin seeing an amazing woman who is now my dear Christian counselor. She is a blessing who has helped me see beauty within myself, reminded me that God is always near, and has helped me to build confidence and set boundaries in my life. She truly has been a gift. But she keeps saying this one phrase that bothers me to no end. And when I can tell she's about to say it, I literally cringe. See, whenever I take a few steps back in my healing and find myself hurting again over the same topic, or can't seem to move past a certain situation, she takes her hands, like she's holding a cloth, rubs her arm and says, "Oh, Leanne, God is polishing you." Stop. Just stop telling me that. The first time she said it, I can remember driving home, thinking, "Ugh, whatever. I don't want to be polished. I don't want to be better by that method. I just want to be better and move past this pain without having to do anything. That would be the easiest way to solve the problem. I've already worked on this issue before, so why do I have to keep working on it again?" Well, working on it once and forgetting about it would be the easiest way, but that doesn't mean it would be the best way for me to move forward. It doesn't mean the progress would last. Without fail, my counselor said this to me again and again, and at my last appointment, I heard it a little differently. "We don't try to make a plastic gem we got from a gumball machine sparkle. And we don't try to make a plastic dish shine by polishing it. We take items that have great value, and we do what is needed to make them their most beautiful, and to make them shine so others can see them in awe. God isn't polishing me as a punishment. He is polishing me because I am something worthy to be polished, and someone he values and wants me to just be the best I can and shine. I want to repeat those words because they are true for you also. God is polishing you because you are something worthy to be polished and someone he values, and he wants you to become your best and shine. Some lessons are harder to learn than others. Some healing takes more time. Some gems are rougher and need extra work to shine their brightest. Whether I am a sapphire or ruby or another precious gemstone, I don't know. But God knows. God knows your beauty and value too. He has known all along that we can handle the friction. We can handle the polishing cloth, even in the moments where we don't think we can handle the pain. That doesn't make it hurt any less, but I pray it helps us eventually sparkle the way God needs us to. Thank you.
When Jesus came and lived among us, showed us our worth and our value, his love for us as he healed and as he taught, as he gathered with the community, and as he shared a meal with his disciples on that night when he knew he would be arrested and tried and crucified. And he took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you, that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. Or receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup. Receive both elements at the same time. We do have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. I'll invite Leanne up to help me serve, and then you all are welcome to come as you're ready.